Welcome to the Christ Community Church Montreat podcast. Kevin Allman here with Pastor Richard White. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning, Kevin.
All right, well, we're going to answer a question again, and this has to do with some of the analogies used in Scripture. So let's listen to this. I would appreciate it if you could talk about the concept of the church and us being the bride of Christ. In small ways, I understand this analogy, such as John 3, when John the Baptist uses this as an illustration between him and Jesus. But how far does this view of our relationship to Jesus go? The Bible also uses the analogy of children and their father. Is one way of looking at that relationship stronger than the other?
That's a great question. There's a lot of metaphors used, a lot of analogies throughout Scripture. You have, for instance, speaking of God and his people, Christ and his people. So you have Psalm 100, we're the sheep of his pasture. Jesus picks up on that in the New Testament, talks about how he is the good shepherd, and I have sheep that are not of this fold, and I will bring them. And interesting in that, I'm going to come back to these things, but the shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That's what we want to hold on to there. We also have Jesus speaking about the vine and the branches. I am the vine, you are the branches. And he talks about branches that are cut off or separated from the vine, they wither and die. Then we have the picture of God as a father with his children. Even the Holy Spirit in Romans and in Galatians talks about the Abba, Father, cry that we have from the Holy Spirit. It's a deep, intimate cry. And then we have language of the bride and bridegroom. You have John, talks about himself as kind of the best man who's helping prepare the bride. Or introducing the bridegroom. You have Paul in Ephesians chapter 5, where he talks about husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing with water through the word, that he might present to himself the church in splendor, and present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle. And I love this passage because, Paul talks about, husbands should love their wives. He who loves his wife loves himself. A man should leave his father and mother, hold fast to his wife. The two should become one flesh. Mm-hmm. And then Paul lobs this one. This mystery is profound. And you're thinking, if you're just reading this for the first time, yeah, that's a mystery, how a man and a woman, husband and wife become one flesh. This mystery is profound. But I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each of you must love your wife and respect your husband. So he shifts on us to something greater than what we see in a marriage, the relationship between Jesus and us, his church. It is known as we are the bride of Christ. Mm. Very interesting. The book of Revelation ends in chapters 21 and 22, John chapter 21, verse 2, John sees the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, adorned as a bride for her husband. So, just beautiful beyond description, even though he tries to describe it, but it's beyond really taking in. But then he says, verse 9, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. Mm. And so it's gone from metaphor to there's a designation. This is who we are. And then the very last word in the New Testament that makes reference to the church, to the people of Jesus, the last thing that the Bible concludes as far as who we are is Revelation 22, verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. It's come Lord Jesus. And that's the last statement of who we are. Mm. And we're left as the waiting bride, crying out, come to our bridegroom. were waiting for him. Well, you know, if we look at all of these metaphors that are used, these descriptions, the one thing they all have in common is there's a vitalness, a life in these things. A shepherd with his sheep. He loves his sheep. He knows his sheep, calls them by name. They recognize his voice. There's an intimacy there between shepherd and sheep. The vine and the branches, there is vital life flowing into those branches from the vine. And apart from the vine, the branch dies, it withers if it's cut off. A child with his or her father or mother, children need their parents. They weren't meant, they can't survive on their own. They have to cry out, Abba, you know, mommy, daddy, help me. They're completely dependent upon their parents for their welfare. And then certainly the intimacy of bride and groom. So all of these are pointing us to the reality of an intimacy that we have with God himself, that God invites us into, creates for us to have with him. And, you know, the question was, is any one of these more meaningful or more weighty than the others? I think they all speak of something, and you're kind of looking at this relationship that we have with God perhaps from a different vantage point. But what I love about the bride and bridegroom is that is the most intimate relationship, period, that we know in human history and experience. The scripture talks about he knew his wife, you know, and it speaks of obviously the physical relationship. Well, it's not that we're going to have some physical thing with Jesus, but that relationship is as close as we can get in the human realm to describe the intimacy that we are going to have with Jesus, knowing him, being known. The love, the intimacy, the joy, that is what we have. And I think in other writers, Puritan writers talked about this as our union with Christ. Paul talks about this in other ways, that we are the body of Christ and he is the head of the church. Well, just as a body and a head, you can't just have a head, you can't just have a body. You have to have both to be a being. That's what we have with Jesus. There is a vital union with him. And we know currently, right now, I mean, we're going to get into heaven and we're going to know that union with Christ. And we're going to look back on this life and say, man, we knew nothing. we didn't experience the half. Yeah. Of what is coming of the rush of life that is in Jesus Christ, that is going to be in us. That's what's coming, and there's no greater way really to describe it than husband-wife. The rush of love, the rush of life together with this person who loves me and who I love and I'd do anything for. As idealistic as you want to get about the best earthly marriage, okay, times that by a billion, and that's what's coming in Jesus with his people. I love the Abba Daddy, Father cry, because it speaks of an intimacy and it reminds me of my dependency upon the Lord. I realize too, I'm very busy and boy, unless I'm connected to the vine, that's what I'm going to die. I'm going to wither. I've got to be connected to Christ. Yeah. I wander off sometimes, and praise God, I have a shepherd who goes after me and who knows my name, who's watching over me. So these are very important things. But that Jesus is the bridegroom, that is speaking at a very different level of how loved I am and pursued I am. And Christ himself is, and this sounds crazy, but Christ, Jesus Christ himself is incomplete without me, mm-hmm. without us as a church. Mm-hmm. That's what's set up before us. And so this picture of tremendous intimacy and joy yeah. that we are going to share with Jesus. So I won't say one's better than the other, but it does build, and it's kind of this crescendo. And I just saw this morning when you asked me the question, the last thing said to us about who we are, it's not church, it's not sheep, it's not vine branch, it's not children, it's bride. Yeah. The bride says, come. We are waiting for this deep, glorious union with Jesus. Yeah. And of course, you know, chapter 21 of Revelation speaks of, you know, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. No more death, no more mourning or crying or pain anymore. We will see his face in chapter 22. He will be our light and we will reign with him forever. And, you know, Ephesians 1 talks about how God's going to lavish grace upon grace on us in the ages to come. So we haven't seen anything yet. I mean, really. And what we will experience of the rush of life that is in God himself, that is going to be what we experience with Jesus. How do you really put appropriate words to that? I don't know. I don't think we can, except to say it's kind of like
yeah,
a husband and wife in the greatest marriage you can imagine, but, you know, a billion times better. That's what's coming our way.
So what are the limits of the analogy? How do we have to be careful in how we, when we're talking to each other, when we're teaching, when we're exploring that analogy, what are the limits of that?
Well, you know, I think one thing for men, you know, men don't tend to think of themselves as a bride. So that's a huge clunker there.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know, and I think, you know, in our, sad to say, in our, you know, culture that is so focused on physical relationship, sex in marriage, outside of marriage, you know, we have kind of a perverted sense, perhaps, of or we just don't understand, you know, what's that going to be about with Jesus? You know, that sounds weird. And so I think, you know, we can't press it full on with what we enjoy in the physical realm. But the that life, the joy that we share, that sense of the satisfaction of this person who absolutely has my back and is out for my good.
And wants me.
And wants me. Yeah.
Is willing to pursue me.
I don't know that you can press that too far. Yeah. That is what is coming in Christ. Yeah. You know, I think the cautions that I get, you know, we have you get into some twisted stuff, for instance, with Islam and the 72 virgins, and it seems to be a physical sexual thing in eternity, and that's not what the Bible is saying is coming. It is talking about life, eternal life, and the eternal joys, and that is what is coming. That in some way, and this blows our minds, far surpass the physical pleasures of this life.
Yeah.
And, you know, so in a way, it's kind of like, you know, the big Christmas present. You know, you got to wait and open it when it's Christmas Day. And but there's not going to be anybody who's dissatisfied in Jesus in eternity. It's impossible. As good as this world is and all the delights that God has put into this world, we, as C.S. Lewis talks about, we experience them filtered from at 1,000 removes from the source. And he asks, can you imagine what it would be to drink at the fountainhead of these pleasures that are so intoxicating, so far removed from the source? Well, we will drink at the source. And what is that going to be like? Well, we don't really know, but it's going to be a lot better than anything we've ever known in this life. So I don't know if that answers the question, but I think I would rather people press into that more and more. Just the word of our union with Jesus Christ. There's nothing like it, and it is glorious. And to be able to live in the joy of that, in the anticipation of the joy, the gladness, the grace, the love that is going to flood our lives, we probably could do with a little more pondering, meditating on that to strengthen us in this day, make us resilient in times that are difficult, where we have to live by faith right now rather than by sight.
That's good stuff. Will you pray for us?
I will. Father, thank you for what we have in Jesus and what is coming in him. Thank you that no good thing does the Lord withhold from those who fear his name. And thank you, Lord, that those good things are only going to be exponentially expanded upon in glory. For you are the God of all creation, the God of glory and love and light and life. And thank you for the day that we will see you face to face, and we will know Jesus as our bridegroom, as our good shepherd, as the deepest and truest source of life. And we will fall in one long embrace with our Savior in the greatest purity and glory and splendor possible. And we look forward to that. And Lord, would you strengthen us with that in the hard days of the day? Lord, moms taking care of kids, moms and dads at work, laboring maybe with a boss who's not very sympathetic, dealing with hardship, with cancer, with lawsuits, with people who are just difficult to be around. Lord, all these places where we are, may we be buoyed up in our spirits by the hope we have, the confident hope we have of what is coming our way in Jesus Christ, so that, Lord, we're living in these times, Lord, not in despair, but truly as people of hope that you are with us and you have promised so much. Lord, help us to hold on and to honor you in these days, even as we wait in anticipation for what you will bring in time with Christ in his return. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.